I would like to talk to you today about a sinner in the presence of God. Now, the doctrine that is fundamental to the gospel is that there is no difference between man and man. Not no difference as to the amount of sins, for truly the day of judgment will bring out that difference. Those not saved will be judged according to their works. But as to the salvation, everybody is on precisely the same footing. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not all have sinned so many times, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This, dear friend, is God's pronouncement upon every one of us. There is no difference. Now, what can a sinner do in the presence of God to be accepted by Him? God cannot tolerate sin. He cannot overlook it. And perhaps when one becomes exercised about his sins and realizes he must meet God, he begins to turn over new leaves of behavior. Maybe he will join a so-called church. Maybe he will try to keep the Ten Commandments and a number of many other similar things. But let me ask, if this is to be the thought of my listening friend, do you know for certain just what will please God, what you must do to please Him? Are you sure if you do these things, yea, all these things together and more beside, that you will be accepted by Him in His presence in your sins? Now let me say this. If there is the smallest thing that you have to do to be accepted with God, it will not do for you to say that you have done right, will it? Are you infallible? Do you not know, for instance, that your own heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know it? And if you don't know your own heart, how can you trust its judgment as to what you do, whether it is pleasing to God or not? How can you tell that your own heart is not deceiving you? The fact is this, dear friend, nobody has peace with God on that ground at all, that is, doing the best that he can and judging what his behavior is. And yet, let me tell you this, and I trust today that this message will be blessed to you. Let me plainly state that there is such a thing as peace with God and rest in Him. In the New Testament in Romans 5:1, we read these words, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you ask, can a person really know that he is saved? Oh, let me ask you this. Could a person have peace or rest if he didn't know that he was saved? Oh, I repeat, there is peace. There is rest. And it is based upon the Word of God. Listen to 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." This knowledge, dear friend, if you have, is what gives you peace and rest. Now, is this knowledge yours, dear listener? If not, how can you face eternity for one moment longer, having no rest of mind and heart about this most vital matter? Turn with me today to the little book of Zechariah, one of the prophets in the minor prophets in the Old Testament. The incident, though it has primarily to do with Israel's deliverance in a coming day, is intended by God to show us His way of salvation for every individual sinner. Salvation is by grace through faith. In this incident, in chapter 3, there are three characters before us. There is Joshua, who is a picture of the sinner in his sins in the presence of God. And then there is the angel of the Lord. This is the symbol of the Lord Himself. And then there is Satan, the adversary, the enemy of man and God. Let us first of all consider Joshua, the sinner in his sins in the presence of God. Oh, tell me, Is not this the very thing that you would be afraid to be? Have you peace with God? If you haven't, certainly you are afraid to be in His presence with your sins, are you not? Have you ever met God thus in your sins? If you haven't met Him, you haven't met Him at all. Now, the first time that you meet God, you will find yourself in your sins. Nobody has ever met Him in any other way. Let me remind you of a best man that ever lived. In the book of Job, God says there was none like Job. And yet, you know, when Job finds himself in the presence of God, what does he say? And I quote, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Think of it. And then let's consider Isaiah, perhaps the greatest prophet that ever wrote. He saw the Lord high and lifted up in his temple, and he heard the testimony to the holiness of the Lord. And what does he say in response? Hear his words. I quote, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Let me ask you, do you know anything of the experience that these two men of God had? Have you learned in the presence of God that you are sinful? Have you seen yourself to abhor yourself? Have you realized yourself as undone, that is, done with? There's absolutely no good in you at all? Beloved friends, God alone can remove your sins, but you must meet Him in His presence with them to have them removed. Now, if you will get into the presence of God with your sins in the day of grace, you will find out that God is for you. He is on your behalf. If you get into His presence in the day of judgment, you will find Him to be against you. In the day of judgment, He will be judge. In the day of grace, that is now, today, He is the Savior. Meet God you must. Oh, to meet Him now in your sins would mean your salvation, if you will only turn to Him. Job found this to be true. Oh, how he was blessed as he had the Lord revealed to him, and as he confessed and repented of his sins, his blessing was double what he had before. Isaiah found it to be true likewise. We read that his iniquity was taken away from him, and his sin was purged. These two sinners, Job and Isaiah, met God in their sins. In the presence of God, they had their own mouths stopped. They abhorred themselves. They repented. And they found out that God was for them and not against them. This is the wondrous grace of God. And I wish to assure you today that the same God is for you. He desires your blessing. But notice what we read in connection with Joshua and his condition. The angel of the Lord describes Joshua's condition. He says, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now, a brand that's plucked out of the fire was one that had been put in the fire. It speaks to us of the sinner who is already condemned. The sentence of death and judgment has been passed upon all of us, dear friends. We read that a man is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All are sinners. All are condemned. The wages of sin is death. And there are none righteous, no, not one. But grace comes in, and God's desire is to pluck the brand out of the fire. He wants to take you out of judgment and bring you to blessing. He wants to take you out of death and bring you to life. Furthermore, we read that the angel said regarding Joshua that he was clothed in filthy garments. What is this? This is a picture of a sinner in his sins and nothing else. This is our picture by nature. Our sins are the garments that clothe us. There's nothing beautiful about it at all. This is a picture, I say, of all of us by nature. We are born this way into a world. This is why we need to be born again. Tell me, have you ever taken your place in the presence of God as a sinner clothed in his sins? As a brand in the burning? Now you notice that Joshua in this account does not say one word He does not excuse himself. He does not seek to compare himself. And he doesn't say a thing. He accepts the verdict against him completely. As it were, he puts his own hand to his mouth and he acknowledges that he is guilty. Have you ever done this? You know, the Word of God declares this about you. The whole world, it says, is guilty before God. I repeat, there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of His glory. Joshua doesn't try to balance his sins with good resolutions or works, no. He says, I repeat, guilty, so to speak. Ah, this is the man who is to be blessed of God. Has this been true of you? You know, the trial as to whether you are a sinner or not is not taking place now. That trial is past. You have already been proven to be guilty before God. You are already condemned, and the wrath of God is upon you. But God is for you, and He wants to bring you into His presence. What are the filthy garments? Oh, the filthy garments are your sins. What about your sins? Have they troubled you? Oh, I trust they have. I trust they are like a big burden upon your back. I trust that you realize and accept what God says, that from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Is this true only of you? No, it's true of all men. But you must realize that this is true of you. And if you do, oh, if you will now only take your place as such. If you would only own in the presence of God that your sins are covering you, you know what that would be? That would be repentance. Job said, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Do you recall when the Lord Jesus was here, he gave the parable of the sheep that was lost, the shepherd that went after the sheep? Oh, he went after it until he found it. There were 99, you know, that thought they needed no repentance. But that one lost sheep, the Lord goes after until he finds it. And based on this parable, I want to say that there is not one of these lost souls that shall not be found. Thank God. Why do I say this? Because the Lord Jesus goes after the lost sheep. And who is that lost sheep? It's the one who repents. That's who the lost sheep is. Have you ever repented? If you have, you are the lost sheep whom Jesus wants to stoop and will stoop to embrace in His arms and put you upon His shoulders and take you home rejoicing. Oh, dear friend, God would bring you into His presence to repentance toward Him that He might bless you. Now, what does God do for the sinner who thus comes with his sins in repentance to Him? Oh, let me tell you, God is for you. He has proven this because He gave His Son to come into the world to die for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Does not this show that His heart of love is for you? He does not love your sins, He hates them. We have but to look at the cross to see what He thinks of your sins. When He turned His back upon His Son there, who was bearing the judgment for your sins. But oh, His heart is for you now. He loves you. And notice what He says to Joshua. He turns and says, take away the filthy garments from him. Thank God, there is a remedy for your sins. God has provided that in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John 1 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. I tell you that if you are in His presence now in repentance in your sins, He will say to you, take away the filthy garments. The Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful, think of it. He's true to His pledged word. This is the kind of God that wants to deal with you now in grace. He wants to impart to you forgiveness and salvation. Again, I say, Christ died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. And it is not of works that you can have this cleansing, not of works that you can be plucked as a brand out of the burning. The Bible says, to him that worketh not. Do you understand that? It is not what you do. You can do nothing. You have done all the sinning. You are already condemned guilty before God. You need to simply repent and receive God's blessing. To him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What a God that offers salvation to you on the principle of simple faith. He says to Joshua, I have caused thine iniquity to pass away. And our God is only waiting to cause all your sins to be removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And then he says, I will clothe thee with raiment, that which will fit him for his own presence. And this is what our God does to every repentant sinner. He not only cleanses our sins, but he gives us a fitness, just like he gave to the prodigal, the best robe, he says. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And when you as a guilty sinner come into his presence and repent of your sins, he cleanses you and he makes you fit for his presence. Oh, will you not come? Have you not come? Oh, I warn you, you are going to be brought into the presence of God someday. Today, this very moment, right as you are listening to the radio there, you may come into the presence of God by faith and repentance and be blessed with an eternal salvation for time and eternity, your sins forgiven, and a fitness for God's presence. But if you don't come in time, and when is the time? Now, right this moment, not tomorrow, not even 5 minutes from now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be forever too late. And then you will be brought into the presence of God. Every single one of us must give account of himself to God. And if you have not come in repentance to him, you will hear his word, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That's the end of those who meet God in their sins, unrepentant, and who are cast from his presence forever. But this need not be. Will you not respond to the Lord Jesus Christ's invitation to come to him just as you are now with all your sins? He says, come thou, come now, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God bless his word to you, the listener, today.